Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today, I have a recent Firebird Book Award winner to share with you. She is Marnie Matong, and the winning book is titled Vote for You, Take Your Seat at the Table. A graduate of the George Washington University, Marnie is an award-winning global marketing executive and author who writes about leadership, strategic planning, and empowerment. She knew she wanted to be a writer at the age of 13. In the book, Vote for You, Take Your Seat at the Table, the pandemic inspired her to chronicle her journey as a woman and first-generation immigrant child from the suburbs of Los Angeles to the boardrooms in Austin, Santa Monica, and London, and all the places in between in search of her seat at the table. Outside of office hours, Marnie enjoys traveling the globe and uncovering new ways to connect with people over incredible meals. She currently lives in Los Angeles with her son and puppy, Rocky. And I'm excited to learn more. Welcome to the network, Marnie.
Thank you, Pat. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here, too. I like your book. There's so much that everyone can glean from it. So I'm looking forward to talking about it today. And congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I am ecstatic and just so excited to share the announcement with my friends and family.
It is a good feeling. It is. So, and I'm always happy to be on the announcement end of it because it makes people happy and it encourages people to keep going and to keep writing.
Absolutely. I think that a year ago, I would have never imagined that I would be here on this call and receiving this wonderful award and honor. So it absolutely gives people hope and I think encourages them to keep on going.
Absolutely. I agree. Now, on your website, you say award-winning author, speaker, and chief. And I like chief.
Chief, that's right. My day job is actually chief marketing officer at a healthcare company. So it's really fantastic to be able to follow two passions, one in marketing on my day to day and in my morning, like right now, writing.
Mm-hmm. All righty. So now I understand the chief portion of that. And you say that you knew at age 13 that you wanted to be a writer. What happened at 13 that helped you make that decision?
I had a conversation with my mom, and my mom, as someone who had immigrated from the Philippines, said that after we were all grown, she would write her American story. And as a 13-year-old, that resonated with me. And it was time to put what we wanted to be in our junior high yearbook when I was graduating. And I wrote writer.
And that stayed with you.
And that stayed with me. I just always knew I wanted to write. And I wanted to write actually fiction. So I always had like a small notebook by my side and was working on a project. And I couldn't quite commit 100% to writing. And so I went to college, I got an international economics degree, but I got a creative writing minor. And always through it, I found writing groups and writing partners. And so I always had just a small project brewing on the side. So I had been writing for years, and the pandemic gave me a wonderful opportunity to time. So I used that time.
So wise. And so many people during that difficult time used that time to their advantage and did get those stories out and the writing that they felt that they always wanted to do but didn't have the time. They used that time to let their creativity come out. So that was one advantage of that horrible time.
It absolutely was. I think like many Americans and people globally, I worked remotely. So instead of being with teams in Santa Monica and in person and travel, I had a set work day. And even though we were working really hard and long hours, I suddenly had a couple of hours of commute time I didn't used to have. Mm-hmm. So I took that time and I wanted to get a break from technology. So I took a notebook, like a legal pad, and I started handwriting this book during the pandemic in what would have been my normal commute time.
Mm. Oh, I love, Marnie, that you hand wrote it, because I still do that often.
You do.
I do. It. There's some different connection with actually writing on paper than there is writing on the computer. Oh, I'm happy you said that. I thought I was like the Lone Ranger here.
No, I actually feel there's fewer barriers and mm-hmm. fewer distractions mm-hmm. because maybe you'll get a push notification and you'll get distracted from a Google Doc or Word Doc, but when you're actually physically writing, you put the phone down, and I used the Pomodoro method, which was like a timed method where you kind of write in sprints for 20, 25 minutes, then you take a break. And so that really helped structure my time too. So mm-hmm. it was, I say to people that the pandemic was actually a gift of time that things like commuting went away mm-hmm. and could be used to pursue passion projects.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. You got to take the lemons and make lemonade, right?
Absolutely, Pat.
Well, give us a bit of background that led up to writing this book, because I know the book is very much informed by your experiences and your history.
Absolutely. I mean, imagine it's late November 2022, so we're at the tail end of the pandemic, and I had been passed over for two chief executive marketing roles, so a chief marketing role. And as many were may have been impacted, there were a lot of corporate restructurings at the time. And so two times during the pandemic in two separate roles, I had assumed the responsibilities of a chief marketing officer. They had exited the C-suite executive that I had worked for. And I actually got the team, I got a head of title, but I didn't have a path forward to actually become the actual chief marketing officer, and I felt stuck. So I paused and I realized, okay, what do I need to do? Like, how can I demonstrate that I'm the right person for the role? And then I got laid off. So it was really an important and pivotal moment, because at the time, it was 2022, all of the big tech companies in Google, Facebook were restructuring. And I took a minute. I was isolated, disconnected, and I wrote down a list of the top 10 things I wanted in my work and my personal life. And I call them my top 10 non-negotiables. And it changed my life in less than 2 months. I went from being isolated and unfocused to connected and centered. And I got a new job really, really quickly, in spite of growing layoffs in the tech sector the next year. So I'm sharing my playbook to help others, and especially women, manage their careers in a really dynamic and fluid time.
Mm-hmm. That almost sounds shocking, to think that you wrote down your 10 non-negotiables and all of a sudden things changed within 2 months.
Well, I had been writing this book for a couple of years, so I was documenting the things that I thought worked. And I think that I was chasing a lot of titles, and I wasn't really looking at, what am I really fantastic at? Who do I really want to be surrounded by? What do I want to learn? And I think that if you pause and you take that inventory and you have a list of things that are really critical for you. For me, it was an example of, I worked at a global company as head of their marketing and communications. And since I lived in California, the company was based in London, I was getting up really, really early, like 5:15 in the morning Pacific, and being ready to be on camera. So after that transition happened on my list of things, I wrote, I wanted to work at a US-based, West Coast-based company that had more of a standard 8 to 8:30 Pacific time start time, and that would give me time to do what I like to do in the morning, which is take a walk, do some meditation, do some writing, because for me, on my list of non-negotiables, self-care is a huge non-negotiable. And so it's, I think, a pivot in terms of how I used to approach my job as well as my passions. And I believe that the list helped unlock a more integrated life for me.
So everyone's going to have different non-negotiables. How do we go about it, identifying them? What advice would you give?
Well, I have a worksheet on my website on MarnieMaton.com where I ask just a simple list of questions, 10 questions, for example, and they cover things like, who do you want to be surrounded by? Who do you want to work with? Things like what you want to learn in your role, how important is the title, what passions or pursuits do you need room for? And so those items are, I think, an inventory of the things that you absolutely want the most. And as I've talked with friends, 10 may be a lot. And so a good way to start is start with one thing. And when I spoke with some women at an event recently and was sharing my book, one woman took a pause and she said, you know, I go into the office every day and the space is super open. And she said, I realized I actually need a more enclosed space. And that's something I'm going to ask for, right? So she can actually do her best performance and thinking. So I think it can be a simple thing like space, or it can be a way you want to start your morning, or the type of teams you want to be surrounded by. So those are ways that the list can help unlock that for someone.
As you look back, were there mentors or role models who guided you through your career? Did they impact your journey, or do you feel like you were doing this all on your own?
I absolutely just had tremendous friends that became like family at work. I mean, I think I talk about squad, right? And just making sure you have that one great collaborator at work that might be in a different department as you, but you work on, in tech, you work on a lot of cross-functional projects. And so I would say that I'm a fantastic mentor and sort of those teammates and peers. We really nurtured one another and showed up for one another. In terms of like broader mentors, I had a fantastic mentor, a C-suite executive who really encouraged me to make sure that I used my voice. I found my voice to speak with great conviction and teaching me how to show up and how to demonstrate through metrics, through initiatives, your impact for the business. And so I have had sort of incredible peers that have mentored me. And then my most important mentors have actually been my mommy working friends too. We have nurtured each other through a couple morning walks every week where we're helping each other navigate our careers and families and pets. And so It's been actually a network, I call it my squad of people that have mentored and helped support me along the way, and I've done the same for them.
Yes, and do the same for them. I was thinking of that as you were speaking. To be there for other people is equally as important as to getting help from them.
Absolutely. I mean, I write about how the Surgeon General Vivek Murthy writes about one in two Americans are reporting loneliness as sort of like a top issue for them. And so I think just with social media, we might think, oh, we're really connected with those people. But what I realized is booking walks, coffees, like a separate text or a separate Zoom conference call with friends, that's where the connections happen, just actually like carving out that time.
And you mentioned the word voice and to use your voice. I think that's often difficult for some people. Some people don't have a problem with it, but it seems like there are a lot of people who hold back. They don't feel comfortable using their voice. Perhaps they don't even know what their voice sounds like or what it would be like to, you know what I'm saying, to even use their voice. Let's just talk about that, especially for women, I think. Not all, but some, to find that voice and to feel comfortable using it.
Finding your voice has been the big piece of the puzzle for me. I think I write in my book, how do you be seen and how do you help others at work? And there is a stat that says in recommendation that if you're in a meeting at work, if it's a 30-minute meeting, make sure you're seen in the first 10 minutes. Make sure that you are preparing for that meeting with something, some impact or project or something to strategically move things forward. I think people go to meetings and they think they might need to just attend, but in fact, you need to be seen and you need to be heard so people can understand what your impact is. So I think that is absolutely like learning and doing that and preparing, that's really important, and that helps you hone your voice. Another thing is that having other women in the room with you can help amplify each other's voices. There was a study from Brigham Young and Princeton that said if a woman is outnumbered in a room, they speak 75% less. And so it's really important to look around. And as I've grown up in my career, I look around and see, Can there be more people seated in the rooms or in the Zoom calls so people can learn?
In your experience, are there any particular industries or sectors where you've observed that women may face unique challenges or opportunities?
I mean, I currently work in the healthcare industry, and it's pretty incredible because healthcare, I think it's something like 80% of the leadership team that I'm on currently are women. So it's completely a different space. I had worked in tech, and I would call the mix inverse. Probably there were the opposite number of women in leadership. And I think that it's fantastic that there are these standout industries because they can demonstrate what's possible, that women absolutely have that ability to take those seats at the table and to lead. I feel like a really phenomenal time for me that I have that ability to work with such a fantastic leadership team. And it's been, for me, after having been in tech for a really long time, refreshing, and I hope can extend into other spaces.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned your cultural background, you know, in addition to being a woman. How has that influenced your approach to leadership and decision making in the corporate environment?
I think I grew up in a suburb of Los Angeles, and my parents had immigrated from the Philippines. My dad worked two jobs for 20 years. I call him the original side hustler. And so I learned my work ethic from him. And so that absolutely permeates my work every day. He also, very curious person, just traveler, real connector with people. And so my mother, similarly, as small business owners as well. So it's absolutely shaped my leadership approach, that curiosity, that work ethic. And also, I wrote this book in the very early morning and in the late into the evening. And after you had mentioned I had finished handwriting it, I had to transpose it. And that's when I started working with an editor to help me finish it out. But it was as if I was looking at the project in two ways, but extension of having a fantastic day job, but then also having what people call the side hustle, right? They mm-hmm. say that 39% of Americans from Bankrate will have a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool too, because it's a really, for me, a great balance to be able to pursue this passion in addition to my chief marketing role.
Really, you've got the best of all worlds.
It's really the best of all worlds. And I pinch myself because being honored by you and your team, it just really makes you feel like, wow, this really happened. I did this.
I love that. I'm happy to be a part of that. I really, really am. What have you heard from readers? What kind of feedback have you been getting?
It's been fantastic. It's interesting. On Instagram, I received a message from someone, and she had been given the book, and she just said, wow, I like never took a moment to pause about what I really individually wanted. And I think it's easy, as I grew up, pursuing, oh, it makes sense, you should go be a lawyer or a doctor. And so maybe we don't take that time because we're so far down a particular path. But I was really honored that she said, I'm so happy that I'm taking this minute, I'm in transition, and this is helping me shape what my future is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. That feels so good to get confirmation from others who read your work, who don't have to comment, but yet they do.
Absolutely. I mean, it was my first fan letter, and I had discovered it in my Instagram. So I think that was really also a fantastic place to discover it. and it just unexpected.
How did you come up with the title, Vote for You, Take Your Seat at the Table?
When I think about I tell a story where in seventh grade we had Why I'm Proud to Be an American speech, and you vote to do an all school wide speech contest. And I did not vote for myself. There was someone who was crying and really upset, and it was really, really important to them. That was a friend of mine. And I cast my vote for her.
Oh.
And I yeah. So I got an honorable mention and I still did the speech, but that was, I think, a really formative moment for me where over the years you ask yourself, am I voting for myself? Am I advocating for myself? And so that was part of my inspiration for the name, to vote for you, to make sure that you are thinking about what's important to you, advocating for yourself, really working hard to know the business that you're working in or the company that you're at, and being seen.
Oh, I love you all the more for voting for your friend. That, who does that? That's so sweet.
It was, yes, that girl, Stephanie, I voted for her. She did great. We all did great. But I think that the lesson, too, is it's important to take that pause and learn how to hone your voice,
mm-hmm.
ask for what you want, and be seen.
Yes. Oh. So what's next? What are you working on now?
I am working on a workshop never vote for you. So I thought that it's been helpful. People have asked questions. I have a worksheet that's on my website, MarnieMaton.com. And so I'm crafting a workshop just to help others go through the steps. So that's what I'm working on in the near term. And I do want to get back to writing. So I think I'm beginning to start thinking through a new project, and I'm excited about that prospect of writing again.
I think you're always excited.
I am.
I know. It sounds like it. And I think a workshop will be a great idea. I did see the worksheet that you could download from your website, but a full-blown workshop, I think you're going to do well with that.
Thank you so much, Pat. I am really excited to just help others find their voice and give them the support and encourage them to find like-minded friends and family and colleagues that help them get to where they want to be.
Yes. You know, it often doesn't take much. It just takes that little bit of support. And often it's also helpful for the support not to come from somebody around you, but someone, say, as yourself, who's been there, done that, kind of has the visible proof, and doesn't take much sometimes to push someone over the edge and make them be all that they can be. So thank you. Thank you for writing the book, and thank you for doing the workshops. I'm excited to see where that takes you.
Thank you so much, Pat. I feel that it's so important to have a roadmap and a map that's your own. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that others will be able to use this as a playbook so that they can find and unlock the passions and the things that really, really make their hearts sing. And also, most importantly, stay connected with their community.
Mm-hmm. You are a great catalyst here. Anything we missed, Marnie, that you wanted to highlight today?
I just want to say that it's an honor to spend time with you, Pat, and to be part of your community. And I'm encouraging everyone to just take that pause, start writing down one non-negotiable, and just let that seed be planted so that it can unlock new things.
Thank you. You're inspiring, very inspirational. If you would, give us your contact information where folks can find out more and get a copy of your book.
Sure. You can visit www.MarnieMaton.com, MarnieMaton.com, or VoteForYouGuide.com. And it's also available on Amazon.
All righty. Easy enough. Vote for you. Take your seat at the table. We're speaking with Marnie Maton. Website is MarnieMaton, MarnieMaton.com. You, my friend, are an inspiration. I am so happy we met, and I'm going to keep an eye on you and see where you land, because it's going to be good places, and you're going to bring people along the way with you and help improve their lives too. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Pat. I'm looking forward to staying in touch and being part of your family.
You are part of the Firebird family of friends. How's that?
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. I'm just thrilled to be part of the Firebird family and friends group.
Thank you, Marnie.
Have a great day, Pat.